What happens to IVF in a post-Roe era? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. On this holiday, we're rebroadcasting a show from May before the Supreme Court had officially overturned Roe v. Wade about how the court's eventual opinion could affect the future of in vitro fertilization, IVF. That's when eggs are lab fertilized and then embryos implanted in a patient, or frozen for later use, donated, or disposed of. Dr. Eve Feinberg is an associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Northwestern University. I spoke with her in May, before the court's decision, as she was recovering from COVID-19. She said giving embryos personhood status conflicts with modern medicine.
Scientifically, those cells just aren't viable outside of the human body. And so with situations where embryos are lost in the culture process, the natural attrition that happens all of a sudden could become criminalized. I can't think of physicians that are going to want to practice in that environment.
How has the technology around IVF changed in the last few decades?
Probably one of the best improvements is the advent of something called vitrification. Vitrification is a rapid freezing technology that really preserves our ability to freeze an embryo. And that single technology has led to a reduction in the number of embryos that we transfer because we know that we can freeze some and save them for later. The second is the use of pre-implantation genetic testing. And you can do that to look at single gene disorders, things like cystic fibrosis or Fragile X syndrome or Tay-Sachs, or you can also do that to look at whole number of chromosomes to reduce the likelihood of having a fetus with multiple health complications. And so we have the ability to select which embryos are healthiest because you can freeze the embryos while you are waiting to get the genetic testing results back. There are lots of other technological advancements that are happening in the field. Oocyte vitrification or egg freezing utilizes that same embryo freezing technology, but now we have the ability to freeze an egg unfertilized and use those eggs in the future.
For those who do believe that life begins at fertilization, hearing you talk about sort of picking and choosing those embryos and not implanting those that might have a severe disability or disease might sound a lot like eugenics to them. How do you talk to people about that?
It's a delicate conversation, and admittedly, there is a very fine line between the utilization of IVF technology for the prevention of disease and eugenics. Where I practice, we only do IVF for medical indications. If we have a couple who has three boys and is not infertile and they simply want to have a female, we don't offer IVF for non-medical indications, but admittedly, there are places that do. And so I see the side of where this can be criticized, but I think when you use IVF technology responsibly, you have the potential to save lives.
How did the fact that Roe has been law in the United States for all these years shaped the way that IVF technology and fertility treatments developed here in the U.S. compared to in other countries?
It goes back to the idea of viability and the idea of when life begins. And I contrast IVF in Italy, which is a religious country and similarly believes that life begins at fertilization. IVF practices in Italy a decade ago were severely restricted. The high-level picture is that IVF in the U.S. is safer and it's more effective than IVF in Italy. And so in Italy, the law required at that time, and it has subsequently been revised, but the law required that only three eggs could be fertilized and that everything that was fertilized had to be transferred back to a woman. And so what would happen is you would have a really young patient who would get three embryos transferred because everything had to be transferred. And that woman would end up with triplets. Alternatively, you would get a woman who is 42, where only 10% of her eggs are actually going to be viable, but you are only able to fertilize three. And so the woman would have to go through repeated IVF cycles in order to get one good embryo. Let's contrast that with the U.S. In the U.S., we stimulate the woman's ovaries, we take out a whole bunch of eggs, and then we have the ability from that single stimulation cycle to pick the best embryo for transfer. That not only increases the likelihood of success, but it also decreases the multiple pregnancy rate. And so we have the ability to fertilize and then to store and to save those other embryos that have potential to be babies and save those for the future so that when a woman wants to come back and have a second child, she has frozen embryos. And this allows couples to have as many children as they want to have without having to go through multiple cycles. And so it saves money, it increases the efficiency of the procedure, and it increases the safety by reducing the risk to both the mom and the babies.
What sorts of technological or treatment advancements are researchers working on now in the field of IVF?
Possibly CRISPR and gene editing. And rather than embryo selecting, being able to edit the egg or edit the sperm to get rid of the disease. Is that on the horizon? Probably. Are we there yet? No. There's lots of technological advances that we're looking at to understand which embryos will implant, how long can we grow an embryo in the laboratory right now. Legally, we don't go beyond 14 days, but that may change. We're learning so much about the human embryo, and even a chromosomally normal embryo still only has about a 60 to 70% chance of implanting and becoming a baby. And so there's a lot of research that's out there that's looking at the why, like what other factors are at play and why doesn't every embryo become a person?
And what happens to that research if Roe is overturned?
Right now, there are strict bans on what is able to be done with federal funding. And that's the Dickey-Wicker Amendment that basically prevents anyone who has federal funding to do any sort of embryonic research. So a lot of this embryonic research is happening in the private sector outside of the university setting. And I think that funding is only going to become so much more scarce in the era of Roe being overturned.
In light of the news of the leaked Supreme Court opinion, what's been the response from some of your patients?
Fear, sadness, anger. Most of my patients don't have children or they have one child and they so desperately want a baby. And that abortion legislation, ironically, is going to inhibit their ability to have a child.
Dr. Eve Feinberg at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. And just as a reminder, this conversation is a rebroadcast of an interview we did in May before the court's decision came down. And now for some related links. The Wall Street Journal reports that overturning Roe caused patient confusion for those seeking IVF, and some fertility companies are taking next steps, moving embryos across state lines out of places like Missouri in case future laws ban the practice. We'll link to that article on our website, marketplacetech.org. We'll also link to a statement from the American Society for Reproductive Medicine and their report on the potential impact of state abortion trigger laws. While their analysts concluded the language in most state bills wouldn't be applicable to IVF, in many cases, it's unclear at this point. Dr. Feinberg talked about the slippery slope regarding genetic testing. Anti-abortion group Students for Life has a page on its site laying out its positions on IVF, and among the group's concerns, the potential for screening out embryos with genetic disabilities or, quote, undesirable traits. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.